morning and praise the Lord, everybody. As you're finding your way to your seats, we have a couple of announcements. The first one being is if your child was in Sunday school this morning, don't forget to grab them, okay? I know it's tempting. I've thought about it before, just leaving them in. But grab your children. We are excited for this morning. One, because we are in the house of God, but also because it is baby dedication Sunday. Yes, well, I'm excited at least. You know, that's good. And so this morning we have a couple announcements for the day. We want to go through some announcements, and I'll give you an idea what the schedule for the day looks like so you get an idea. But if this is your first time here, which I'm sure it is, we have a baby dedication. You're probably here to support your family. Thank you for that. But we want to welcome you. We're just excited to have you here worshiping with us and being a part of the family for the day. And so welcome. We also have a connection in the back. If you have any questions, we have a way to connect. If you have any questions from us or maybe you want to learn more about what we do or about the Bible, we offer Bible studies. And also we love to answer any questions you have. So you can use the link up above or just find somebody and ask them. Also, if there's we don't pass anything for an offering. If someone feels compelled to give, we have different ways. You can find them on the screen. There's boxes in the back. You can give online. So there's that. And then a last announcement, there is a men's ministry grill out and service tonight at 6 p.m. at Marvin Renvick's house. He's right here. There we go. If you have any questions, you can talk to Marvin afterwards. But bring meat, bring a chair, and be ready to be blessed. So we're excited about that. So baby dedication service, just a quick overview how this works is we're going to have some worship. We're in the house of God. We like to start things out with worship and with prayer. But also we are going to have a portion of the service where we dedicate the children. And so this is me giving everybody a heads up. I have children. They like to know what's coming, right, happening soon. So we're going to worship, we're going to have some prayer, and then we're going to start the dedication portion of the service where we're going to invite the couples and their children to come up to the front, and there's going to be a minister up here, and then you as families, we're going to ask that you come stand behind them. You don't have to do anything, but stand behind them, right? And then we're going to all pray together and for the children and for the parents as we dedicate them to God. And then after that, we have a message that will be brought that's really pertinent to baby dedications. And then you can go home and go do everything that you were wanting to do for the day. So for this morning, if you wouldn't mind, let's stand. Let's open in prayer. The Bible says to do all in the name of Jesus. So that's why when we pray, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. So do all to me means we're here to gather. We're here to connect with God. We're here to learn. We're here to hear what God has for our lives. And so let's just pray that God will have his way in our hearts this morning. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your love and your mercies. Thank you for the opportunity to be in this place this morning with all of our brothers and sisters and family in our community, God. God, be in this place today. Speak to hearts. Speak to minds. If they haven't felt you before, or haven't felt you in a while, or have felt you yesterday, God, let them feel you again today. Let them know your love and your grace, God. Our goal today is to connect with you and to lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship with us this morning.
Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah, Jesus, yes. Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Through, and I really don't know what to do. I run to you. potent, almighty defender. My victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Yes, you are the God, breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, don't know what to do. I run to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you are the God of the impossible. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough in my lift to glorify your name, breakthrough in my dance, breakthrough in my shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough in my lift to glorify your name, breakthrough in my dance, breakthrough in my shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise,
in my praise.
Oh, I'll give to glory,
breakthrough in my hands, breakthrough in a shell. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough in my lifting, glorify your name, breakthrough in my dance, breakthrough.
Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my I'm ready.
Jesus, we worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. God, you're worthy. We give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. You could be seated this morning. That song brings back some very bad memories for me. That wasn't a joke. I have lived a life in shame. I have lived a life that has been broken. I have lived a life that has felt hopeless. And so you might look up here and say, wow, these people raise their hands, or there's somebody out there, they raise their hands. They're not perfect. Yeah, exactly. Because I think about that, and sometimes I get about my daily business. This isn't in the program. I get about my daily business, and I forget what I used to be before God saved me, before he brought me out of darkness. And I can tell you, I don't have shame anymore. And if I was feeling shame, I know it wasn't from God, because he doesn't bring shame. It's exciting. I'm excited. So this morning is baby dedication. Now, some of you may be wondering, hold on, baby dedication. I get questions a lot. Wait, why don't you baptize your children? And that's a really good question. And I could say that I'm 42 years old almost, and I was dedicated at this church many, many years ago. And at Calvary Gospel Church, as long as Calvary Gospel Church has been a church, we don't baptize our children. We dedicate our children to the Lord. This is a sign we are putting them in God's hands. There's a story of Hannah in the Bible who couldn't have children, and she prayed for God to have a child. And when she had the child, she said, God, if you give me this child, I will give it back to you. And so she weaned the little boy and then took him in to serve at the church. You're not turning your kids in to serve, right? But much like Hannah, who physically gave her son Samuel to the priests and placed them in the priest's hands to work in the temple, today these families will symbolically place their children into the hands of God. And they know, and they can find comfort, that he is able to keep what we commit to him. In the Bible, baptism, which is full immersion underwater, requires understanding, repentance, and belief. Everywhere you look through the Bible, it requires understanding, repentance, and belief. As an infant cannot do these things, we do not baptize them. Furthermore, just baptizing something without them having understood, believed, or repented is not really accomplishing the purpose of baptism. So today we dedicate our children to God. We say, God, I'm going to commit this child to you, to your ways. I'm going to commit as a parent to raising this child your ways, according to your word. Knowing that God is able to take that commitment and keep track and protect and be with our children as we help raise them. And God ultimately fills them with his Holy Spirit. And they believe and understand and repent and then are baptized in Jesus' name. This dedication ceremony today will require participation, not just from the families and the little infant, right? But also from the family and the friends and the whole church body. Raising children in a godly way requires more than just the parents. So this morning, we want to introduce some of these couples to you. But Sister Lois, just so everybody knows, Sister Lois is our senior pastor wife. Sister Lois, let's give her a hand. Pastor Roy was sick this morning, so she's like, I can do this. This is awesome. So we're going to introduce you to some of these families, okay? And she's going to hand you out a little onesie. A very small onesie for Jameson, and a Bible and a certificate. So the first couple is Jameson Collins Rivas. Sam and Kelly, can you stand? Congratulations, what a cutie. Just a side note here, this little guy's been in the hospital for quite some time, and it is really awesome to see him here. So great to see you guys. The second child being dedicated is Jaina Hicks and her parents, Spencer and Natasha Hicks. Spencer, can I just give you a small piece of advice? Okay, having children is not like board games. You don't want the most. You don't want to win, okay? Let somebody else win that game, okay? Just personal advice I've learned. Okay, the third child being dedicated is Elijah Liddle with mom and dad Andy and Melissa Liddle. Thank you. And the last child is Chloe McConville with Kyle and Alicia McConville. You may wonder why they got some extra noise. It's not because they're more popular or better looking or nicer. It's because they're also our youth leaders for the church. So there's some people that have a vested interest in this baby. I wish I was a youth leader when I had children because there might be some extra babysitting. You know what I'm saying? Great idea. Okay, so this morning, that's awesome. We welcome everybody for being here. So if we could have the parents and their child come to the front and the ministers that are representing. So we have many ministers in our church, and they're going to be representing the church, and there will be a physical handoff to them. So Brother Seidel will be with the McConvilles. Brother Jerry and Sister Lindsay will be with the Liddles. Sister Jessica will be with Sam and Kelly. And then Phil will be with Tasha and Spencer. Dedication is a time for parents to commit their child back to Jesus, realizing we are only stewards of his blessings in our lives. Now, hold on. I always say this beforehand. It's okay if a little baby cries or something. We're going to get through this, okay? This is normal. People have been having crying babies for thousands of years. It's okay. We got this. Realizing we are only stewards of his blessings in our lives. We are not committing them to God to raise them, but we are committing that we as parents will raise our children in the ways of Christ. That we will dedicate our lives to following the ways of God and his word and training our children to do the same. To all the parents, family members, and friends gathered here in support today, let this child be a reminder that we are always in much need of God's love and his presence. When this child runs into your arms, whoever you are, and wants you to carry him, let it be a reminder that we can run into the arms of Jesus, where we will be surrounded by his presence. Fathers, God has designed you uniquely to be the caregivers to your children. Fathers, the relationship between a father and a child is very special. Be a leader and guide them, not like a dictator, but through setting an example in serving them. Never let your responsibilities as a man, which are important, but never let your responsibilities as a man get in the way of your God-given mandate of being a father. If Bishop were here, he would say, your priorities, men, is God, family, work. And that's what it should be. This all starts with your own relationship with your Heavenly Father, and it is only out of that relationship that we can truly live out what God has intended as a man, a husband, and a father. Moms, God has designed you uniquely to be the caregiver to your children, to nourish and comfort them. They will come to you when they are in need and when they are not in need. The love a mother can show to her children is incomparable. Never let your caregiving get in the way of your own relationship with your Heavenly Father. It is through our relationship with our Heavenly Father that we can live out the life God has for you as a woman, spouse, and mother. And if I can add a little something to you both here, pray for your children. Your prayers over your children are so much more powerful than some random prayer. God has placed you over these children and given you authority. Parents, you are the example your children see more than any other. You create the normal that will begin to shape who they are and what they believe. So set the example in your marriage, in your responsibilities, in your walk with God. Show them how to learn. Show them how to grow, how to succeed, and show them how to fail. Show them how to live life God's way. Now I'm going to ask the families that are supporting them, could you gather around? Maybe Jerry and Lindsay, could you guys shift to the middle just a little bit? If you could gather, if you're here to support one of these couples, could you stand and gather around them? It's just a sign of support. You're not signing up for anything.
Maybe some babysitting. No, I'm just kidding. And so I'm going to ask some questions first of the parents, okay? And parents, I would ask that you respond with, "We do." Just the parents here, "We do." And then we're going to ask some questions of the church family, of the whole people that are here. And then we're going to pray, okay? But let's ask the parents questions first. Parents, do you now present your child before God with the purpose to dedicate your child to God? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? This is a long one. Do you promise to try the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotions and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Church family, could everybody out there please stand with us this morning? And everybody that's surrounding the families and the church family, you can respond with, "We do," if this is your intention as well. Church family, will you do all that you can to provide and support a place of instruction and community where the child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a community to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for these families? Parents, if it's your intention to dedicate these children to God, please hand the child to the minister. Now, we're going to say a prayer as a group. If you're a part of one of these circles and you're comfortable with it, you could lay your hand on the person. We're going to kind of create a little chain here on the up all the way to the parents. If you're comfortable, if you're not, that's okay too. But the Bible talks about that when we pray, we can lay hands on each other. Not in a weird way, just put it on their shoulder softly and gently. We're going to pray for this child, that God would be with it and protect it. We're going to pray for these parents, that they would have wisdom and guidance, and God would help them. We're going to pray for this family, this support group, and friends, and we're going to pray for this congregation. Let's bow our heads and pray today. Thank you, God, for today. God, this special day where these families bring these children, Lord, to you. Everything's so brand new and awesome and fun. But God, they want to commit this child to you. God, we pray over this child. We pray that you would protect it. God, we know you have a plan for every child, every person on this planet. God, I pray, Lord, that your plan would be fulfilled in this child, that you would protect it and be with it and help it to grow. God, as it gets closer to you, as it learns to know you more and ultimately has a relationship with you. God, we pray for these parents. God, we pray that you would give them wisdom. God, this is not an easy task, but it is one you have prepared them for. God, give them wisdom, give them understanding, give them guidance. God, give them patience, give them a sense of humor. God, be with them as they raise these children. And God, we pray for the family and friends that are here to support them. God, as they see this child raised, God, and as they're praying for that, God, bless them, be with them, protect them, give them guidance in how to best support this child and this family. And God, touch our church community, God. Let us be a place where children, God, can learn from you, where children can look and see examples all over this building, not just from parents and families and friends, but also from everybody in this community and in this church. God, we pray, Lord, that your will would be done in each one of these lives as we dedicate these children over to you, knowing that you are able to keep whatever we commit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Parents, and as much as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of raising them for Christ, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. May God bless you in all your efforts. You can hand the kid back, or you can just take it if you're a grandma of the child. I see that, Jessica. You can find your way back to your seats. That was really good. This is one of the no cries, no nothing. We would have been fine with it, but that was Well done, parents. I don't know if you're training them already, but good for you. If you are going back to your seat, I apologize. I am going to have a stand. I should have said that, right? Yes? Yes. You don't usually come to the stand, sit, stand, sit, stand, sit at a church like ours, but I apologize. We are going to read a passage of Scripture. It's only three verses. But to just honor the Word of God, I want to have a stand while we read it. And something that's interesting that I was just thinking about is that, you know, the Bible is described as objects. Ever think about this? Yeah, God's Word is truth and all that. But it says the Bible is a lamp and a light. It says the Bible is a sword. It says the Bible is a mirror. And so many times we look at the Bible and we say, yeah, it's a sword. It's beating me up. It's telling me what not to do. It's mean, right? Other times we look at the Bible and we say, but it's not just a sword, right? There's part of that. But it's also a mirror. The Bible says we look into God's Word and it shows us about ourselves. Good and bad. Shows us what God thinks about us, which is really awesome, actually. He thinks good thoughts. But then it's also a lamp and a light. It's a thing we can use. The Bible says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it kind of shows me which direction to take. Or maybe I should say, it shows you the way that's a good way. There's a million directions you can go. And so this morning, I want to read from God's word. Thank you for standing. From Hebrews 12, verse 1. Awesome. And it says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can put your Bibles down. Let's say a prayer just right now. Thank you, God, for today. God, Lord, let your word go forth. Let it be land on good ground. Let the seed germinate and provide fruit. Let your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. No, I did not read a verse about endurance because it's a parenting baby dedication. No, this is a baby dedication service where we're committing to giving our children to God, to raising them in the ways of God, but we are also here to commit ourselves. So if you were here and you brought your little child to be dedicated and you thought, I hope they're listening to what the pastor has to say, well, this one's for us, okay? And I'm a parent, so it's for me too. Today I have a simple thought. It's a chance to refocus, a reminder maybe for some of us. Whether you have children or don't have children, whether you have never been to church or come every week, whether you are old or very young, God has a word for you. He is calling you to look to him. He is the author and finisher of your story. He is writing this story, and he is asking us, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But parenting, now that's an entirely different season of life. Or maybe season is too weak a word. Parenting is a complete and utter change to your life that will totally knock, no, I'm just kidding, sorry. Complete and utter change to your life. Raising children has been going on since Adam and Eve messed up half of their first two. Wait, sorry. But that's how we look at it, right? I'm going to mess up my kids. I know. They didn't mess him up. Those are his choices. But you know, it's funny, we say that about ourselves. We say that about our neighbors. And so I start thinking about these idea of the difficult parts of parenting. And I got to tell you, for those of you that don't know me, I have four children. They're 11, 9, 7, and 5. And so I am in the thick of it. I don't know if that makes me an expert or like somebody that's really good at drowning. I'm trying to figure that out. There was a comedian once that said, they said, what's it like having four kids? And he's like, imagine that you're swimming with two children and someone throws you two babies. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like, right? You're drowning.
I think some of the difficult things about parenting is that children are a mirror. Now, I'm not going to go through all the details on this. You can let these percolate a little bit. But some of the difficult things are that children are a mirror. Time is not your friend. Education happens the hard way. Success is usually not noticed in the moment. And there's a lot of ways to parent. Everywhere you look, everything you see, everywhere you look, once you begin parenting, that is, because you don't notice it till you do. Now all of a sudden you're paying attention to those blogs and YouTube videos that you never cared about before, right? There is someone telling you how to parent. I have a personal rule in my life. I don't give parenting advice, which is hilarious because I'm up here speaking about parenting, right? But you'll never see me walk up to you, Brother Andy, and say, hey, you want some really good parenting advice? I learned that after the very first piece of advice I gave. So I don't give parenting advice. Most people don't want it. I didn't want it, right? Now I'm older and I'm like, please, somebody give me advice. Society more than ever, social media, the technological advancements we've had, which are so awesome for our society today, they allow us to see so much more. It's not like before where you're in mud huts and you see like two families down the way and you're probably helping each other out. Now you can see thousands of families, millions of families. You get to see the good, the bad, the awkward. You get to see when you drive down the street, you've done it, and people are out in their yard and you're like rubbernecking it, not because there's an accident, because like, how are they raising their kids? What, what is he doing? He's doing the laundry? Like, and you're wondering like, what's going on? You scroll on Facebook and see how everybody's normal family is. I mean, their highlight reel, right? There's blogs and YouTube videos and podcasts everywhere. And some of them are really good. And we look to those. There are so many ways to parent, so many things to do, so many best practices to learn, so many techniques to master. And with all these things to look at, and notice, it is easy to lose sight of the task. It is easy to be distracted by too many options. It is easy to wonder what everyone else is doing. It is easy to assume everyone else's life is perfect. It is easy to be overwhelmed by doubts. It is easy to question whether you are good enough. It is easy to think you are messing up your child forever. And it is easy to believe you are not able to do this. And so we turn and look at all the things around us. We turn away from God and we start to look at other things, other people, other situations. We look away from God and towards our past. We look away from God and look towards other people, towards our storms. There's some examples of this in the Bible. We read in Genesis 19:26. Yes, we're reading a story about Sodom and Gomorrah at a baby dedication. But God's destroying the city and he tells his people, get out of the city. And verse 26 says, then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. She looked at what she had. She looked back to when she was single and said, well, I got to play all these video games and go to the mall all the time and play all these sports. And be in 6 fantasy football leagues. Sorry, this is just my life. She looked back and said, that's what I want. She looked at what she had, the popular things, the things of this world. She did not look to her salvation. Literally her salvation. The instruction was, this is going to burn really bad. Get out and go this way. And instead of looking towards the salvation, she's like, I just got to turn around. This is important to me. And so the lesson we learn from this cautionary tale is to not get caught up in the things of this life because they're temporary. Because when we get caught up in the things of this life, the temporary things of this life, we fail to look at where our salvation is coming from. That's why David in the Psalms, you'll read this, go look through it. He mentions a bunch of times, but in Psalms 121, he said, I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help, if in case you were wondering at the end of that verse, he doesn't leave it hanging. He answers it in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. He's saying, I will look to the Lord. And then he goes on in 3, verse 3, he will not allow my foot to slip. My protector will not slumber. Verse 4, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects us. The Lord is a shelter. The sun will not strike you. The Lord will protect you from all harm. I look to my salvation. Psalm 141, verse 8, again, it says, but my eyes look to you, my Lord. I seek refuge in you. Do not let me die. Now, a little, he wasn't raising children at this time, so maybe you think it doesn't apply. He's literally being chased by an army trying to kill him. If anybody had an excuse to look at their situation, this was the one. It's not just the kid was acting up in church a little bit, right? Which is happens to me every week. Instead, he's being chased by people trying to kill him, probably has every right to be looking around. He says, no. He says, my eyes look to you, Lord, my Lord. I seek refuge in you. David is choosing to look to God and not at his enemies. He's choosing to look to God and not at his circumstances, not at the difficulties, not at the challenges, not at the confusion, not at the things he doesn't know what to do about. He said, I'm going to look to God. I think about the story of Peter. And Peter was one of my favorite disciples, actually. He's a great name. A little impetuous at times. We're not related at all. But in John 21, there's this real, and you've heard me say this before, but this is important. In 21, there's this really great moment with Peter and Jesus. Oh, do you love me? Oh, I love you, Jesus. And there's this connection, this emotional connection. They're having this great conversation. And then they get up to walk away, and Peter turns from Jesus, and he looks back at John, and he says, when Peter saw him, that's John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? What about him? You can imagine the picture here, right? I'm imagining they're all walking together, or they're sitting there, they're looking at Jesus or whatever, and Jesus is there, and they're all like, but Peter's turning the other way. He's worried about the person next to him. He's worried, is he going to get a better spot in heaven? Or is he more popular? Do you like him more? Is he parenting better? Or is he parenting worse? Because I'd like to know that too. That would make me feel better. And look at Jesus' reply in verse 22. He said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Jesus is saying, quit looking at this dude. Just look at me. Just follow me. If I'm going this way, look to where I'm going and go where I'm going. Follow me. I wish Peter didn't have so many good examples of failing, but he does. We see it again when they're on this boat and the storms are raging and all of a sudden they see somebody out in the water and they're like, that's a ghost. And all of a sudden they hear a voice and Jesus essentially says, it's me. It's Jesus. I'm here. And Peter's like, right. Who is this really? You guys haven't seen that YouTube video. Never mind. Okay. And he goes, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Jesus said, come. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and he came towards Jesus. If I was writing the Bible, I think I would have put Peter started walking on the water in like giant bold letters. That is it. I've never heard of someone doing that. In a storm with the waves and everything and crazy, everybody's freaking out. He's just like, yep, I'm walking on the water. But here's where the story gets interesting and applicable for today. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cry out, Lord, save me. It's when Peter said, I'm going to start looking at my situation and not Jesus, that he starts to drown. It's when Peter says, I'm worried about this thing. This might actually kill me. Just like David might have been killed by all of his enemies. The storms are going on. Talk about your highs and lows. He's literally walking on water. And the next second, he turns his head and he's overtaken by the wind and the waves. And he's drowning. And it is when Peter looks away from Jesus that the storms get him. Doesn't this seem counterintuitive? Doesn't it seem like we should be watching the storm? You know, they've heard the whole God helps those who help themselves. Well, God, you need me to watch the storm. I mean, I'm here. I should be watching this, you know. I was like, no, I don't need you to watch the storm. I'm with you in the storm. I'm right in front of you. Oh, but God, don't you need me to, like, get my armor on and watch out for those enemies like David? No, just look to me.
But God, I'm actually really concerned about my brother John. It's not that I'm comparing. I just want to make sure he gets to heaven too. No, don't worry about him. Look to me. That's what the Bible is telling us to do this morning. Look to Jesus with all the other things we have to look at, with all the different ways to parent and people giving you advice. Don't ignore good advice. I'm not saying that. But with all the distractions that exist, God is saying, look to Jesus. We look at what we look at determines how healthy our lives will be. Jesus in Matthew 6 says this. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. But if your eye is bad, we read that one. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So you see, the things we choose to look at determine whether we will experience light or darkness. The things we choose to look at will determine whether we experience light or darkness. And it is interesting that he says we cannot serve two masters. It seems like he changed topics in the middle. But I think he's telling us that we can't look at two things at the same time. Or maybe he's saying you can look at two things at the same time, but you can't follow them both. Because you'll serve one and hate the other. You can say, well, I'm looking at God and I'm looking at this. Yeah, well, then you're either frozen or you're following one of them. We have to choose what we look at, or more importantly, who we look at. Which brings us back to our verse of the day, Hebrews 12:1, where it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It talks about a great cloud of witnesses. This is talking about the chapter before where it talks about Abraham and Noah and all the heroes of the faith and all the great things. Like, here's some good examples, right? And so, obviously, there's an opportunity for mentorship, parents. There's an opportunity. There are people out there with good advice. Not everybody has good advice, okay? Find somebody that is a great example, a hero in the faith, somebody that you look up to and say, this is somebody I want a voice in my life. But it says, we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, every weight and sin which distracts us, every weight and sin which slows us down, which keeps us from our goal of looking to Jesus, which keeps us from running the race with endurance. Because it's a long race. I can't even get one of my children to empty the dishwasher without stopping three times. Right? And here we're talking about parenting for 18 or 26 years. It says, looking unto Jesus. Now, for those of you, some of you may not know this, but the Bible wasn't written in English. English wasn't around back then, right? And so back then it was written in Aramaic. Some Greek, this is what we got, right? And so the word looking, we know the word looking, but do you know what looking meant? What the word was that they translated to looking? This is what it is. To turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. They could have just said to point your eyes towards something. But the way that somebody would describe this 2,000 years ago, if you knew their language, what they meant when they said the word looking unto Jesus, they literally were physically meaning turning away from other things and looking to Jesus. Turning away from the distractions. Turning away from all the craziness of the world and saying looking to Jesus. Now, a little more fun here. The name Jesus means Jehovah has become salvation. So we look to our salvation when we look to Jesus. We look to him for love and hope and peace and direction and clarity. We look to him for comfort and confidence. We look to Jesus when we're angry, when we're confused, when we're sad, when we're discouraged, when we're happy. But more importantly, We should look to Jesus regularly. We should look to Jesus every day, so when the times are difficult or confusing or intimidating, we're already focused on him. We've already trained our mind to say, I look to Jesus on a daily basis, so when I'm happy, sad, angry, mad, whatever, I'm already looking towards Jesus. And so this idea of, okay, Peter, let's make this a little more practical. You keep saying to look to Jesus, I'll get one of the little statues, I'll put it in the house, I got it. I'll watch The Chosen every night, I'm going to look to Jesus. So what does it look like to look to Jesus, if I can use that phrase? We look to Jesus in prayer. We bring our day, we bring our feelings, we bring our worries, we're bringing our children to God in prayer. We look to Jesus in his word. We look for what he's writing about us. And sometimes it feels like a sword. And sometimes it feels like a mirror. And sometimes we really need that lamp or that light to guide us. And we look to Jesus through mentors in our lives that are hearing the word of God that are speaking to us. We look to Jesus and show our children how to look to Jesus. When we are looking to Jesus, they are looking at us, looking at Jesus. It's like one of those weird mirror picture things where you see like, when we are looking to Jesus, they are seeing us look at Jesus, and they are learning to look to Jesus. They are learning that in the difficult moments, they're saying, I see how Dad responded to that. I see Dad, I wakes up every morning and prays. And then when things happen, yeah, Dad sometimes gets angry, but he goes to God because he's got a regular habit of looking to Jesus. They see Mom, who's less concerned with being the perfect mom and getting everything right and having everything perfect, and more concerned with saying, I want to look to Jesus. I've had this really awesome opportunity of seeing some young couples that have made that decision. And in the struggles of what's going on in their family and feeling overwhelmed, and they're totally messing up their kids, and their kids are, you know, going to go to jail and kill their brother like Cain and Abel, and right, this is what's going through their mind. And there's all this fear and doubt and worry. And the advice was, look to Jesus. Well, that's not going to help. No, just try it, parents. Yeah, but I don't have time to pray. I got to be with my kid. I don't have time to read God's word. I got to be with my kid. I don't have time to go to church. I got to be with my kid. And meanwhile, the storms rage and the enemies are going crazy and everybody around you is given all this stuff that you're watching, right? And it's been so cool to watch these families that have made that commitment. Parents, Kyle and Alicia, Spencer, Tasha, Andy and Melissa, Sam and Kelly. To watch these parents that say, I'm going to make a commitment to look to Jesus. I'm going to commit that prayer is important, that God's word is important, that coming to church is important. I'm going to make that commitment. And then you watch these families. Remember I said success is not noticeable in the moment? But you watch when they start making that commitment. I don't know. Sometimes it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 months. I don't know. But God starts moving in their lives. And the things that they wanted changed start changing. And guess what? It's not because they instituted some special podcast steps. It's because they looked to Jesus. That's the part I don't know how to explain to you. I can't put it in enough words to say, just do it, just try it, because God will be with you. And the results you're looking for will come out of that if you will look to Jesus. You will be surprised when you begin to look to Jesus, to cast your cares on him, to forget about everything else, and to look to Jesus, who will write and finish your story. You will be surprised how you begin to change, how your parenting begins to change, how your children begin to change. We see this so many more times in this Bible, the idea of looking to Jesus or turning to Jesus. Zechariah 1 verses 3 through 4 says this, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts. So this is God saying, you tell them this. I'm going to tell. This is God saying, turn you unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you. That's pretty good. That's a good promise. He's saying, if you will turn to me, I will turn to you. Don't be like your fathers, whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear. Don't be like your fathers who were told the same thing, and they have their struggles. Don't be like them.
We read God is telling us to turn to him and he will turn to us. This is a promise that we need to hold on to, parents. When you commit to turn to Jesus, when you commit to look to Jesus, write this down and quote it every day. This is a great verse. Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your mothers. Some of you have great fathers and mothers. I'm not saying anything bad about them. The fathers in this verse did not listen. They did not turn to God. We can break the generational curses. We are not our family. Looking to Jesus can help us not become the negative that we would be destined to be. If the musicians can come, I have another verse. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. It says this. So let me set the stage here. The Israelites have worked their way out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for a long time. They've finally gotten out of Egypt through God's deliverance. God saved them. Salvation. Right? And so Moses is giving this speech out in the middle of the desert. And he's telling the people what God has told him. And it says in verse 30, when you are in distress... See, I knew this was about parenting. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. It's in parentheses, right? The Lord your God. And when you turn to the Lord and obey him, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. And there's a lot more to this message, but we're going to skip like 8 more verses down to verse 39. It says, therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, and there is none other. He's saying he's got everything. He's got a heaven, got a earth. He's got everything. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command to you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. That you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. So what we're hearing here is turning to God means following his word. Turning is always accompanied by obedience. It is turning to God and from everything else and obeying his word that we look to Jesus. He won't forget it, promise, his promise. He will not forsake us. But if we turn to God and obey, it will go well with you. But that's what's cool about the end of this verse. You want to make a difference in your children's life? Turn to God, obey his word, and it says, it will go well with you. But then there's a little and with your children after you. And that you may prolong your days in which the Lord your God is giving you. God is giving you a land. He is giving you a future for your families. He is giving you a promise for your children if we will look to him. And so if you could all stand with me today. Today is about looking to Jesus, ignoring the people around us, the perfect families, the failing families, the blogs, the podcasts, the self-helps. Ignoring those thoughts in your mind of failure and doubt and being a giant loser and you're going to mess up your kids forever. And turning to Jesus and focusing on him. I would be amiss if I did not offer us all a chance to respond to this. Not to me. You don't got to talk to me. But a chance to maybe sit and think or stand and think or come to the front and pray or sit where you're at and pray. Wherever you're at, yes, there's 4 families getting babies dedicated today. But there's a lot of us in this building that have some distractions. And maybe those distractions are slowing you down from your race. Maybe they're distracting you from what God is trying to have you accomplish. Maybe like we sang about, you're living a life of shame. And that's okay. I've been there. But it was when I turned my choices to follow God and his word that I looked to Jesus that my life started being different. Today is a chance to commit, to recommit, to turn to Jesus, to ignore the distractions. But there's another word for turning. Maybe you've heard it. It's called repentance.
Repentance is saying, I'm going to turn away from the things of this world. I'm going to turn away from these bad choices, and I'm going to turn to God and try to follow His word. And you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to fail. Let's just put that out there so you know. But by the grace of God, you are going to be perfected and changed. This is the first step, actually, in coming to God. The people, they heard this great message in the New Testament, and once again, Peter was speaking. And they're like, oh, I need to do something about this. What should I do about this? I feel really bad. Or maybe they said, I feel like there's more for me. And Peter said, he stands up and he says, repent. Turn around. Look to Jesus and be baptized. Every single one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Turn around. Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he doesn't stop. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This area up the front, if you want to come stand up here and pray, take a moment this morning. Whether you're going to come up here or sit or stand, take a moment to reflect. As they start to sing, take a moment to reflect on what you're looking at and what you could be looking at. God has a great promise for you and for your families. Look to Him this morning. Turn to Jesus this morning. We want to thank everybody for being out here today, for supporting these families. Pastor Roy was sick, like I said, but on behalf of our senior pastor, Pastor Roy, thank you for being here. We're excited about these families and what's going on. And God bless you as you go about your day with whatever plans you have with these families. Have a great day.
To